Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ. All right, we'll go ahead and get started. As I mentioned earlier, we're in our summer series, and so our adult classes are meeting in here together. And we have a series of different speakers from different places, as well as some panel discussions with our members. And so I'm really excited about what we're going to learn together. But I'm excited about tonight. Our theme for our summer series is Living by Faith. The idea being, what are some practical issues that we face in our attitudes in living? What are some issues that come up in our lives? And you're probably reminded of our theme by our banner, and we also have some schedules of our different topics. But I think tonight's topic is going to be very important. How do we maintain our hope when it comes to our Christian faith? And so I'm excited that Sam is going to share with us. Without taking up any more of his time, I'll ask Sam to come and speak to us.
It is definitely an honor to be here tonight to be able to speak as a part of the Graymere Summer Series, and I'm excited to be here working this summer. What we're going to be talking about tonight is going to have a little bit of a dark introduction. We're going to be kind of setting it up for the bright hope at the end. As we talk about hope in good times and in difficult times, one of the main things that we have to realize is that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is not perfect and never will be, never has been. But in a lot of ways, we look at the world today and it seems to be getting darker, getting harder to live in as a Christian, getting more difficult to be faithful in. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit tonight. And that's a difficult topic sometimes to talk about. It can be scary. It was definitely an interesting challenge in studying for this to think about some of the difficult things that are going on in the world and to think about our response to it. But the good thing is that I'm going to go on and spoil the end for you. We're going to win and we have hope. If we're going to heaven, then we have all the hope in the world. We have the brightest future possible. And I want each and every one of us to know that tonight as we go into talking about it. But it's really easy for us to believe the future is really dark. It's easy for us to have that mindset of the future is just so dark, and that's what we believe. And there are a lot of reasons behind that and a lot of justified reasons. My goal for this lesson tonight is to show us that even though we don't always have the easiest time as Christians, we have all the hope in the world. And yeah, that's where that is. You can see me looking for it up here. But it's easy to believe that the future is dark. Since Roe v. Wade occurred in 1973, there have been over 60 million people murdered in the United States by abortion. And we see that continue today with different legislations. Some of them are legislations that decrease abortion, but some of them increase it or even go to the side of infanticide, which is actually the murder of a child outside of the womb. We see nationwide acceptance of the LGBTQ practices in society a lot more today. We see a lot of acceptance of things that God has said is not the way that we ought to live. And we see this month is what is called Pride Month, and there are a lot of people boasting about their pride in the way that they live, even though it's contrary to what God has decreed. There's often a lot more general sense of hatred and division in society today, especially in the United States, and within the past decade, it seems like it's just gotten even worse and worse, even though it wasn't exactly great to start with. And it's just so easy to look at society today and say, well, the future is just so dark. This is such a dark future, we have no hope. And it's easy to say that and to think that. But for us Christians, the future is so bright. The future is so bright for us as Christians. Even though the reality is that it's becoming harder and harder to be a Christian in the United States today, and there's more resistance than there has ever been, probably, in this country, we still live in a great country, and we still live in a place where we are not persecuted for being a Christian for the vast majority of the time. And we have it really good, and we're very blessed with that. Even so, it is becoming more difficult, and there is more resistance to that. And it's a really big temptation for us as Christians to sit back and complain, well, it's not the way that it used to be. It's not like it was back in such and such time. And it's easy to complain, well, there's all this resistance now that there used to not be. There used to be that society was encouraging us to be Christians and to go to church, and now they seem to be doing the exact opposite. And that can make us really unproductive in the struggle. To look at society and to complain about it and to say, well, this is not the way it used to be, is not getting anything done. And it's not what we as Christians ought to be doing. There we go. That's the picture I was looking for. There was a great quote that I found this week from Eleanor Roosevelt. And she said, "It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness." And I find that to be very true for us as Christians. We are going to be more productive as Christians if we let our light shine than if we sit back and say, this darkness is all so bad and it's this and that. Because that doesn't really get a lot of things done, but letting our light shine sure does. And so in the middle of this society where there is all this hate, where there is all of these people who are confused, where there's all this division and strife, let's let our light shine, because we'll make a difference when we do that. Like I said earlier, I'm only 21 years old. I was born in 1998, so I've never really known a moral America. It was better when I was a little baby, but it wasn't just, you know, wonderful. You turn on the radio in 1998, and we listen to a lot of 90s music today as we rode in the car, but there are a lot of things in those songs that during that time period that probably weren't exactly what we would approve of. But I've never really known a moral America. And so my lifetime is starting in kind of immoral time, and then if the Lord gives me 60, 65 more years on this earth, something like that, then I will probably see it just continue to be that way and to continue to become worse. But what I want us to realize is, in the middle of all that, and then we'll jump into our scriptures, in the middle of all that, the future is still really bright for us as Christians. The future is still incredibly bright for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ and for those of us who are going to heaven. Our future is so bright. And not only do I want us to know that outside forces can never defeat Christianity, but I also want us to look at what the Bible has to say about this and what the Bible has to say about hope in dark times. And the title of my lesson tonight is Hope Does Not Disappoint. And that's going to come from one of the scriptures that we talk about. We have incredible hope as Christians. So first off, we have hope in dark times because God will deliver us. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be starting in verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In this chapter, Paul is talking about some of the sufferings that he's gone through, some of the hard times he's gone through as a Christian, as someone who is bringing God's Word to the people around him. And if you read the book of Acts, you see a lot of those specific instances where that occurred, and where there were specific times where he was beaten, stoned, thrown in prison, different things that happened to him. And so he's talking here after one of those events happens. It's not known exactly what event he's referencing, but obviously we read a lot of events that could have happened after. But he says, starting in verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." Paul was living in a time that was very, very difficult to be a Christian. Possibly the most difficult time, when there was Roman persecution against the church, where there were individual places persecuting the church. The Jewish people were persecuting the church. There was all sorts of resistance to the message that Paul was preaching. And in that, he says, we have hope. He said, we despaired of life itself. We believed that we were about to die, is what he's saying. We felt that we had received the sentence of death. But what he says here is, the reason that that happened, he said that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. And something that I want us to realize tonight is that any type of persecution or hard time that may come to us, what we need to use that for is to not rely on ourselves, but to make us rely on God. And I know it's time for me to stop relying on the things of the world. To stop thinking that the world is going to make it okay. To stop thinking that the things in the world is going to make it okay. But I need to realize that God is the one to set my hope in. And I believe we can all try to learn from that. Is that God is the one that our hope should be in. Paul lived in that world that was incredibly evil and profane with all this resistance to Christianity. But he still said, God is going to deliver us. We read so many stories in the Bible about how God delivered His people from hard times. Delivered His people in dark times. We read of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who God kept from burning up in the fiery furnace, and by His power they didn't even smell like fire. We read about Paul at Ephesus, which could be what he's referencing here, when there's a huge crowd shouting against God, saying that Diana is God instead of him. And Paul believed in that moment, most likely, I'm about to die. But he was saved from that by the hand of God. We read of Peter when he was in jail, and the angel comes and the bonds fall off, and he leads him out through the gate and he goes over to the house where people were praying for him. We read about Paul and Silas when they were in jail and they were singing songs and praying to God, and the earthquake happened. And then they were able to convert the jailer there in Philippi. We read about Joseph, who lived much longer before any of the other people we were just talking about. And he was a prisoner in Egypt for 2 years. And God delivered him out of that as well. We read about Daniel in the lion's den and how God delivered him out of that. And we see all these stories and examples about how God delivers His people from danger. He actually delivered a lot of His people from those instances. And so we can have hope that if God delivered them, He can deliver us as well. God can deliver us as well. He can provide for us in that way. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. This is when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were talking to King Nebuchadnezzar after he built this big idol and said, "You have to bow down or we're going to put you in the fiery furnace." This is their response. It says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up.'" They said that God has all the power in the world to make this not actually, like, make this physical danger not occur. To completely deliver us out of that physical danger. But then he says, even if he doesn't do that, we're not going to bow down to that idol, because they knew that even if God didn't deliver them out of the fiery furnace, He was still going to deliver them because they were faithful to God. And they were going to go to heaven if they passed away there in that fire. And that's the ultimate deliverance. Even if God does not deliver us out of the danger itself, we can know for a fact, every single one of us can know that He will deliver us to heaven in the end if we're faithful to Him. God's not going to let us down in deliverance. He didn't let down Stephen, who was stoned and killed for being a Christian, because Stephen went to heaven. God didn't let down the prophets who were killed for preaching the word back in the time of the evil kings of Israel and Judah, because they went to heaven. God was faithful to John the Baptist. He did not let him down, because even though John the Baptist was killed for speaking up for what is right, he was still delivered. James, who also was beheaded for being a Christian, was still delivered. And of course, our great example, Jesus Christ, who God did not spare when He let Him be killed on the cross, but He was delivered as well by resurrection. God is not going to let us down in deliverance. And even if a dark time comes to our life, even if a time comes where we have to stand up for God and be killed for that, God's going to deliver us, and He's not going to let us down in deliverance. And so we have all the hope in the world. We have all the hope in the world, and we have a God who is going to deliver us. Our future is so bright with God. We also can have hope in dark times because God has made a promise. Go ahead and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to be starting in verse 11. Hebrews chapter 6. It says, "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope to the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you and multiply you.' And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation." "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable nature of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath, that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Here, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the promise that God made to Abraham. And he said it was unchangeable. It was not movable on the basis of two things. One, that God's character does not change. And two, that God cannot tell a lie. And so the nature of God's promises we see from this passage is that God's promises always, always come true. And He always keeps His promise to the end. Do we believe that tonight? God has promised us so many things. God has promised us salvation in Christ. God has promised that home in heaven. He's promised that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And so many more things that God has promised us. And those promises ought to bring us hope. Those promises in the dark times of our life ought to bring us an incredible amount of hope. As the writer says here in Hebrews, he says that it gives us strong encouragement to take hold of that hope that's placed before us, that anchor of our soul, hope. When our hope is in God, we have a hope that can never be moved, no matter what happens in this life, and no matter what sort of dark time may come. We have a hope that can never be moved, that can never be taken away from us. It's always there. So as we're talking about hope tonight, I want us to realize that this hope is something that is not going to go away. It is not something that some life circumstance can wash away. It's an anchor so heavy that no current in the ocean is going to blow it away to some other part. Not going to wash it away anywhere else. It cannot be moved. This hope is firm, secure, and guaranteed, and it's certain. And it's a sad thing to realize how many people in our churches today, when you ask them about their hope, seem to have taken hold of hope with a trembling and unstable hand, not really sure if it's something that ought to be grasped, not really sure if it's something worth trusting in. So often when you ask a faithful Christian, are you going to heaven? The answer is, well, I hope so. And we're not talking about the same kind of hope here. The wishful thinking kind of hope is what they mean. Maybe. I really would like to go to heaven. Sometimes they just downright say, I don't know. And it's sad. It's sad to think that. When we've got this hope, this anchor of the soul that can never be moved, sometimes it's like a ship that has an anchor, but the rope connecting the ship and the anchor is just a little piece of thread. We're not holding on to that anchor like we ought to be. We've got to realize that as saved, faithful Christians, we have a hope that is unmoving. This hope should act as an anchor of our soul, firm, steadfast, immovable, because the one that we are hoping in is immovable, and He is steadfast. And He is not going to leave us, and He is not going to forsake us. And even if our lives were to grow grimmer, darker, scarier, more difficult, we still have that hope as an anchor of our soul that is anchoring us in that joy that we know is coming in heaven. And I hope that that hope is shining brighter and brighter each day for every one of us. We ought to view our hope in God as a place of refuge. Here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 it says, so that by two unchangeable things, in which is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Where are we running for refuge? Are we running to God in the times that are difficult in our life? Are we running to God who is immovable and is not going to be shifted around by anything? Or are we running to things that are transient, things that are temporary, things that are of this world? Because if we're running to those things, then we're running to something that is not going to hold. It's like that ship with an anchor again. But if we're running to the things of the world, it's like an anchor made out of hollow plastic. It's not going to hold you anywhere. We want that anchor that is firm, God. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. So where are you casting your anchor? And what kind of anchor do you have? Because we're all going to experience dark times. And even if it's not persecution or something like that that we've been talking about tonight, many of us in here have experienced very dark times in our lives. And there are different times that we have all gone through that are very difficult. Many of us have experienced great loss. Many of us have experienced health issues that are very difficult to get through. Many of us have experienced those who we love making times harder on the people around them. And in those times, what's our anchor going to be? Are we going to take hold of that sure anchor of hope? Are we going to take hold of the hope that we have in God? Or are we going to run to something else? God is the place that we ought to run for refuge. Are we going to run to Him? Or are we going to run to something that's not secure? When we hope in God, we have a bright future ahead of us. In spite of the difficult times that are sure to come, we've got a bright future ahead of us. But when we don't hope in God, then we don't have a bright future. And so that's something that is challenging to think about for each of us. Let's hope in God. Because when we have this hope in Him and that bright future, it helps us to light that candle in the dark world that we live around. And we can shine our light that others may see the hope that we have. And they're going to want to have that hope as well. Next tonight, we're going to be talking about... There we go. We can have hope in dark times because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8, we're going to be starting in verse 31. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." As Christians, in dark times, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Here in this passage, in verse 36, Paul references Psalm 44. And Psalm 44 is a really interesting psalm to read. It's a psalm where the writer is saying to God, "I have not forsaken you, O Lord. I have not done things against you. If I would have turned my back on you, you would have known it. But I'm still going through this dark time." I'm going to read Psalm 44, 17 through 22. And it says, "All this has come upon us, though we have not forgotten you, and we have not been false to your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. Yet you have broken us in the place of jackals and covered us with the shadow of death. If we had forgotten the name of our God or spread our hands to a foreign God, would not God discover this? For he knows the secrets of the heart. And here's the verse that Paul quotes. Yet for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And Paul is comparing this psalm to how Christians in that time felt when persecuted. Those who are faithful in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And he's reflecting the sentiment very well by using this psalm. We've been faithful to God, yet all these bad things are happening. Yet he says, in all that, we're more than conquerors. In all that, because of God and because of the power that He has and because of the hope that we have in Him, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Paul would have been talking here to a Roman audience. He was talking to the people that lived in Rome, the church in Rome. And they would have known a thing or two about conquerors. They would have known a thing or two about what a conqueror did and what a conqueror was like. But to them, a conqueror would have been a survivor, a hero, someone who defeated all their enemies, someone who was really triumphing over everyone. So it's pretty ironic that Paul describes someone as even greater than a conqueror, who's described as being killed all the day long, who's described as being a sheep destined for the slaughter. And as the New American Standard puts it, which I think maybe more adequately portrays the level to which we conquer through Jesus, it says, "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us." And so it's easy to for us to get caught up in despair when things are very difficult. And it's easy for us to get caught up in a time where there is more resistance to Christianity and more persecution to say, well, there's just not very much hope. And we start to despair and think along those lines. But when we see this about people who are being killed all the day long, and we realize that those people, because they have God, overwhelmingly conquered through Him who loved us, we see that we can do the same. They were the ones that overwhelmingly conquer, which can be a little ironic to think about. But that's the power of God. And that's the level at which we conquer through Him. We conquer at such a high level through Jesus Christ that it surpasses any persecution or turmoil that we can ever have here on this earth. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18, he says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." As Christians, are we looking to the things that are unseen? Because our hope does not need to be in anything here on this earth, like we said earlier. We need to be looking to those things that are unseen. Because those things are what are going to stick around. Those things are eternal. This life, though it has a lot of hard times, and I never want to discredit those things, is very short in comparison to eternity. Eternity is ridiculously long in comparison to the little amount of time that we spend on this earth. Do we realize how short our life is here on this earth and how eternal life is? Because that can give us a better perspective of what our hope is in. And finally, along that line, tonight I want us to realize that we can have hope in dark times because we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven, and that gives us all the hope in the world. turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Just a couple pages before. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1, says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's hope has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows His love for us that even that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." This passage is about our justification that we have in Jesus Christ, about the forgiveness that we have through Him. Folks, the main reason that we have hope in any dark time is because we're going to heaven, because we're saved. The only reason that we can really even have hope on this earth is because we know that there is a life after here. And we know that there is a better life that is after here, and we have been forgiven of our sins, and so we're able to partake in that life. So therefore, no matter how dark or how bad or how scary times may become for us, the future is bright. The future is really bright for us. Heaven awaits those of us who are saved, which is the brightest future we could ever have. Do we realize that? And do we believe that? And do we live like that? Because we've been justified and forgiven, we have peace through Jesus, and we have hope. And this hope does not put us to shame, or as other translations may put it, hope does not disappoint. And there is absolutely no way that the faithful in Christ are going to be disappointed by their hope in God. In this passage, we see some prerequisites for hope, though. And so this is what I want us to be left with tonight, is that we have to realize that we can't blindly hope in God, that there are certain things that have to be accomplished before hope can occur. The first thing is, and this is the one that we don't do, first thing is that Jesus died for us. If Jesus did not die and was not buried and had not been raised from the dead, we would have zero hope. But He was. He did die and He was raised from the dead. So we do have hope. The second thing is that we also must have justification in Christ. We have to come to Him and be forgiven of our sins. There's no hope for us if we're not saved. And also here in this passage, we see this progression of virtue. Kind of like the one you see in 2 Peter chapter 1, a lot shorter, but kind of similar. We see this progression. And it starts with suffering, which isn't a virtue, it's just a cause. It's suffering produces endurance, produces character, which produces hope. Character produces hope. We can't expect to have no Christian character and still have hope. So we have to know that Jesus died for us, we have to be saved, and we have to live that Christian life. The first cause of hope is that sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And that's what I want us to really focus on, though. Through that sacrifice, we are saved from the wrath of God, and we have hope. And because we're forgiven, we know that we're going to heaven. And because we know that we're going to heaven, we can have hope no matter what happens in this life. Because we know that we're going to a place where there's never going to be a single more suffering. There's not going to be one more instance of suffering. I want to close tonight by reading Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is after the great chapter of faith. In fact, the chapter division here is unfortunate. The people who make the chapter divisions, obviously, that came a lot longer after the Bible was actually written. So the chapter divisions are not inspired. So when they made the chapter division at Hebrews chapter 12, they should have done it a couple verses later, because this really is the whole point of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 talks about all these people who lived in faith, some of them suffering through a whole lot of difficult times. But they were faithful to God. And the Hebrews writer says, after all that, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, we could say that that was his hope, that joy set before him. He endured the cross for us. Those of us who, we turned our back on him, but he still endured the cross for us. And so for the hope that's set before us in God, let's endure whatever's going to come toward us and know that we have the brightest future that there ever could be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word. We pray that you will help us to understand it and to take it to heart. Help us to live in such a way that we will be pleasing to you and go to heaven. Help us to be faithful until the end. And in all the difficult times of our life, Lord, we pray that you will help us to have hope and help us to be good examples and to shine our light in a dark world. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.